take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Micah. Micah. Right after the book of Jonah. The book of Micah. Before we look at this precious book, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, this evening, for Christ's sake, would you bless, Lord, the preaching and the hearing. Lord, we ask you to have mercy. Thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for the privilege to hear. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. We pray that you would anoint our hearing by the Spirit of God for Christ's sake. Amen. In every generation of people, from the creation of man, this world has been possessed by unbelievers. In the time of Adam, Eve, and the fall, their kids, one of them knew God and one of them hated him. Murderer. But within that group of people, in that group of reprobates, and if you want to know what a reprobate, you've heard that word, reprobate. Let me tell you what reprobation is. Reprobation is the very opposite of election. It's the very opposite. Almighty God has set forth that he has been pleased to elect a people unto salvation. Reprobation is God's choice to leave a man or a woman to themselves. And God does them no wrong in leaving one to himself. He does them no wrong. Leaving one to do what he wants to do is God's right. So in the midst of this world of reprobation, God leaving a man to himself, there is always a remnant according to the election of grace. Even at this present time, the Apostle Paul said, there is a remnant according to grace. God always has a witness according to his good pleasure, according to his mercy, his kindness. Now, during the time of the prophet Micah, which was about 150 years before the prophet Ezekiel, these prophets are not placed in the scriptures according to chronological order. Some of these, what we would call minor prophets, they're not minor in what they're saying. It's basically the volume of what they wrote. But these minor prophets, smaller in volume prophets, some of these prophets wrote hundreds of years before Jeremiah or Isaiah. Micah was one of them. And the nation of Israel, by and large, had fallen into empty religious ritual. They had gone in and it was just business as usual. Well, we've got to go to church. They'd left their first love. There was that time when they came out of the nation of Egypt and the people not all of them, some of them, sensitive. I thought on that again, how the Lord wrote to the churches. And that church that He wrote to, you've left your first love. Can that be possible? Absolutely. I would say by and large, it's not something that happens overnight. Very probably something that most of them never even detected, but the Lord did. And He in mercy and grace exposed it. Well, these people during the time of Micah, because they had the law given to them, because they had the prophets, they prided themselves in being sons of Abraham, and therefore they arrogantly boasted under the direction of their false prophets. In Micah chapter 3, I'll look at this again in a moment, but Micah chapter 3 and verse 11, here was one of the sayings, right at the end of that 11th chapter, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Well, I tell you, you know, pride cometh before a fall. Be careful. The vast majority of the prophets during that time, prophets from this nation, this country, they were false prophets, and the Scripture reveals them to be nothing more than businessmen, money-hungry businessmen. Look at the first part of the 11th verse of the 3rd chapter, Micah 3:11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. The prophets will divine for money, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? I looked up to find out what exactly was the Lord saying about them when it says, yet. They judge for reward, they teach for hire, the prophets divine for money, yet will they lean upon the Lord, yet they say, is what it's saying. They say, we're believing God. We're trusting the Lord. We're seeking God's will. That's the natural speech of all false religion. God's people say it and do trust Him, do, because they have faith. God's given them faith to believe. But all false religion will say, we're believing God. And then when the Lord did send a true and faithful prophet, because of the hardness of the people's heart, is what they say. Micah chapter 2 in verse 6 is what they say. Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. Don't preach to us. Don't tell me what God has to say. If it fits my fancy, that's fine. But don't tell me something that doesn't fit my sails. But God sent a prophet named Micah. And with boldness and confidence in the Lord, not in himself, but in confidence in God, he joyfully, faithfully spoke of the coming Messiah that soon would come for the redemption and salvation of his people. I want you to look at Micah chapter 7 and verse 7 to 9. Micah 7, 7. This is what Micah said to him. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall and a believer knows that he does. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. This is what God's preachers say. This is what God's people say. I may not know the way that He's leading me, but I know who's leading. Verse 9, I will bear the indignation, the chastisement of the Lord, because I've sinned against Him, until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. God sent a true prophet to Israel. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. But that preacher, in the boldness and confidence of Almighty God, said, I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, let's just look through, and obviously, like every one of the prophets, I can't deal with every one of the verses. But let's just see what the spirit of this prophet is setting forth. Now, chapter 1, the Lord sets forth His witness against Israel. Micah chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you. The Lord from His holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of His place, and will come down, and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten unto Him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? In that last part that I just read, what's the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Samaria and Jerusalem were the two major cities. That was the places that was where the priests were to be, where the tabernacles were supposed to be. That was the two major cities. And those were the cities that were leading the rest of the country in rebellion against God. So God just named the two major cities in there. What's really going on here? The very places that God had raised up, they were the leaders in rebellion. Well, here's a man born to himself, born in sin, left to himself, and this is what he's going to do. The scripture sets forth in verse 9 of Micah 1. This is his problem. Here's man's problem right here. Verse 9. For her wound is incurable, for it is come unto Judah. He has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. What is the problem with man? He has an incurable wound. It can't be cured. What do you have to do with it? You judge it. You kill it. It's got to die. It's got to be placed under the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. This old man is not cured. This old man is a rebel. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. And they're contrary one to another. And there's a continual battle that goes on in the believer for the rest of his life. And the only thing that's going to happen is this body of death is going to have to be put off. This wound is incurable. This is what Isaiah says, Isaiah 1:6. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness. There's nothing stable in it. That wound has no one that's not touched. Micah said in Micah 1:9, he, that wound, sin, has come into the gate of my people, even Jerusalem. God's elect, are they born in sin just like everybody else? Yes, sir. They're all, Romans 3:12, gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. God's people are born just like everybody else. They're lost. But in the midst of the bondage of sin, the Lord sets forth Him who is referred to as the Breaker. I want you to look at Micah 2, verse 12 and 13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, a place that I found out was known for its magnificent flocks. Wonderful, wonderful flocks of sheep. As the flock, I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of the men. There's a number that no man can number. How many are the Lord's? A number that no man can number. The Lord knows them. But it's a multitude of men. Verse 13, the Breaker is come up before them. They have broken up, have passed through the gate, and are gone out of it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. The Breaker. Now this Breaker is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of the rebellion, in the midst of this nation Israel now, in the midst of this country right now, in this world right now, there is absolute rebellion against God. But Almighty God is going to do something for His people that they cannot do for themselves. He's going to rescue them. He's redeemed them by blood, and He's going to regenerate them by the Spirit of God. The Breaker. Here is the one, the Breaker has come up before them. The one that came up from everlasting. The one that was ever before the Father. I was always before Him. I was always His delight, He said. The one that was ever before Almighty God and stood as the surety of the sheep. He was the one chosen of God to break down that middle wall of partition between us and our Lord, our God. He is our peace. He's the one, the Breaker, that John saw on the Isle of Patmos, who was worthy to take the book of the revelation of God's eternal counsel of mercy and to loose the seals there. Well, you remember when there was one found who sat on the throne and had in his hand a book. John said, I heard one cry, who's worthy to take the book? And no man in heaven and earth was found worthy. And John said, I wept bitterly. And he said, and one came to me and said, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, He hath prevailed. The Breaker, the Deliverer, the Breaker, the Mighty Warrior, He hath prevailed to take the book. He came and He took the book out of the hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And the 24 elders fell down before Him, casting their crowns, said, you're worthy to receive honor, glory, and praise, for Thou hast redeemed us out of all of the earth, every tribe and tongue and nation, people. Those seals, that book was written on the backside, inside, outside, completely written. No other writing could take place on it. And He was worthy. What was the book? It was the revelation of God's eternal purpose to redeem His people. It was the revelation of God's eternal mercy and grace to a people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the breaker, He was the one that came forth. The breaker has come up before them. He has absolutely broken down the strongholds of sin which Satan held his people by. And He's broken down that natural hatred and enmity that His people had toward God. How? By giving them a new heart. This old heart right here. I do not possess an old heart that loves God. Before regeneration, there is no love for God. There is no caring for His gospel. There is no appreciation of His mercy. Oh, the mighty breaker. Lord, keep me that sin would not have dominion over me. The breaker, the deliverer. In the midst of rebellion, in the midst of animosity and wrathful thinking toward God, Almighty God's got a people. And He's going to redeem them. How is He going to redeem them? By the breaker. Well, in chapter 3 of Micah, the Lord continues to warn against all false prophets who oppose God and His people. Look at Micah 3, verses 9 to 12. Hear this, I pray ye. Ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the judge of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity, all fairness, all justice, all right. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, the priests thereof teach for hire, the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. Micah 3:12 reveals the root of this world's judgment. Micah 3:12 reveals the root of man's demise. Here's what it is. False preachers. Evil. Because verse 11 reveals these hirelings, they're businessmen that deal in the merchandise of men's souls. I'm telling you, based on the Word of God, men that are standing in pulpits, even tonight, that are lying to people. Merchandisers of their souls. False prophets. False preachers. Giving men false hope because of these hirelings in verse 11. Verse 12 says, Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become as heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. I want you to turn, just mark your place right there in Micah. Turn with me to Jude, just before the book of Revelation. Jude, just one chapter in Jude. So it's Jude verse 3 and 4 is what I want to read. I was looking at this passage today. Jude verse 3 and 4. Beloved, Jude says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why, Jude? Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is saying, beware, beware of these men, these preachers, who creep in unaware. It's not that they're preaching false, free will, man-centered doctrine at first. They come under the guise of being preachers of the gospel of free grace. They come in and creep in unawares, leading, trying to lead to believe that they're truly gospel preachers. But in time, if they do not openly deny it with their mouth, they openly deny it with their actions. By living lives of, where the Scripture says, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, into loose living. Let me tell you something. I know that in every man, every woman, there is that old man that wars against God. I know that. But Almighty God is going to keep His people. And for someone to say, well, now wait a minute. If I'm saved by the grace of God, it does not matter how I live, how I act, whether I act in a respectful way before God and before others. I'm saved by the grace of God, so therefore, it doesn't matter how my life is. My friend, you're deceived. They're turning the grace of God into loose living, vulgar living. Though they may not outwardly say it, they do it. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, denying that salvation is all of grace, either in word or in action. Now back in Micah chapter 3. These false preachers, back in 3, verse 12. Therefore, because of these hirelings, because of these ones that judge for reward and teach for hire and divine for money and say, God's with us, we're the Lord's preachers. Therefore, verse 12, shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. There's nothing more damning to men's souls than false preachers. I have absolutely no tolerance for them. None. I cannot associate with them. I cannot. I know that there's times you have to talk to them, but I do not have and will not, by the grace of God, give them the impression that you and I are the same on the same wavelength. I'll get invitations to go. Can you meet? We're going to have had a prayer breakfast or something. I don't know. Something down at the square, courthouse. On, you know, we're going to be down here all meeting together and praying together. We'll know if we can count on you. I said, no. damning to men's souls. Men are born with sin in their hearts and have itching ears to hear lies until God gives them a new heart. But in the midst of deserved judgment, Almighty God remembers mercy. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. You know the story of Jacob. He was wrestling, the Scripture says, with a man, God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the wrestling, in the struggles, the Lord said, who would not let Jacob go? That's the only reason Jacob could hold on. The Lord said to Jacob, let me go. And Jacob said, I can't. Not until you bless me. Jacob knew who he was. He'd have never asked that, Mitch, unless you bless me. He said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. Supplanter. Trickster. Liar, huckster. Right. But no more. Your name is Israel, oppressed with God. You prevailed by the grace of God. And the Scripture said, and the Lord touched him. And there was sinew that shrunk, and he halted for the rest of his life. He limped as a reminder that in his weakness, he was strong in the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to make her that halteth a remnant, her that was cast off in Adam's fall, cast off in sin. I'm going to make her a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Oh, those that halt. What a blessing to be able to realize something of my frailty. The Lord, for the sake of His blessed name and covenant, shall surely recover His people that halt spiritually, that have no ability to walk aright. He's going to show mercy to those that He's everlastingly loved, undeserving in themselves. And they know it. They admit it. Those that admit they don't have any ability whatsoever. I talk so much about prayer, trying to pray. The older a person gets, I'm convinced of this, the more they realize their inability. Those of us that has a few extra years, over some of you, you realize you just feel the frailty of this flesh. Thankful. I think about that Scripture in Hebrews. We don't know what to pray for. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Takes those things that we would desire to say, and the Spirit of God says them by the blood of Christ, put away our guilt. Takes those things that we don't say, puts them in there. Things that we say that we oughtn't have said. Those things not counted. Iniquities not imputed to the silliness that we see so much in ourselves. That's what he's saying right there. Those that halt, I'm going to assemble, gather her, verse 6, that's driven out. Those that I've afflicted. taught her what she is. Oh, the mercy of God that overrules our failings, fallings, our haltings. It makes our times of falling to be rising times of His mercy. Well, in chapter 5, the prophet sets forth the coming of the Messiah, reminds the people of their hope, tells them, first of all, in verse 2 of chapter 5, even the very place of His birth. This is the one. This is who you're looking for. This is where He's going to be born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's what the Lord said to those Jews before Abraham was, I am. This is the eternal God, made flesh, setting forth God's sovereignty and mercy to tell a people where He's going to be born, that He's coming. They look forward to the coming of the Messiah the first time. We're looking for His second coming. We're looking for Him who is coming the second time. Then sets forth Him who is the peace of His people. A people that's found among the goats of this world. Look at chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The Scripture says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. What a man is this? What a man. The man, Christ Jesus. Here's the man of glory. God's man. God's servant. God's chosen. God's elect. The mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Peace. Everlasting peace is established by His shed blood. And how I thank God for that. By faith, I believe it. I look at myself, and I would look at myself, and looking only at myself, I would think, what peace can there be for one like right here? How? How? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The stars are not pure in his sight. He counts his angels, you know, just nothing. What is man? Man, God Almighty has set forth that the Lord Jesus Christ has honored God's law. Almighty God has set forth that His wrath has been put away for His elect, and that justice has been served, and there's no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. If I did not have that word of peace, where would I be? What would I do? By His obedience, the Scripture says, many are made righteous. And do you know what I've got concerning that? I've got His Word, Freddie. That's all I've got. I've got His Word. That Almighty God would give a man a heart to believe that and to trust Him. Like I said, you're not going to find any peace looking at yourself. All you're going to find is disobedience, disrespect. The God-man. In our nature, absolutely atoned. What does that mean? He covered us by His blood, paid our debt. In our nature, He lived and died, buried, rose again for or because of our justification. Almighty God had eternally justified His people, His elect, based upon seeing the blood shed from before the foundation of the world. Justified them freely by His grace. And Christ Himself died, buried, and raised because of our justification. And He who is our peace is going to have all of His scattered people throughout this world, a world that they're in, but they're not of. Look at Micah chapter 5, verse 7. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Where are they? They're just all in the midst. They're all throughout this world, scattered. Where are they? The Lord knows. Is He going to have them? Absolutely. How is He going to call them? Through the preaching of the gospel. How are they going to hear? God's going to send them a preacher. And the Spirit of God's going to bless that message to their heart. And He's going to give them a new spirit, new heart. Then the Lord, in chapter 6, instructs His people to remember His goodness and His wondrous works of grace and mercy. Look at chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. You remember the story. Balak, I'm going to try to hire Balaam. Balaam was a false prophet. We're going to hire Balaam to curse God's people. You curse them. And God Almighty would not let Balaam curse them. Words couldn't come out of his mouth. The Lord says, you remember what I did for you. I would not even allow a curse to even be placed upon you from the mouth of a false prophet. You remember what I did from Shittim unto Gilgal. Shittim was a place where they committed great whoredoms, the Scripture says, against the Lord. Until I brought you out of that place of your rebellion, and I brought you to Gilgal. I brought you to Canaan. You remember, oh my people, verse 5, remember. Remember what I've done for you. And then, in closing, the glorious benediction of this prophet. Micah 7, 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth? There's that word, E-T-H. Pardoneth iniquity. And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Into the depths of the sea of His Son's blood. Oh, Lord, that I might be found in this number, right here, in the number of Your remnant. Lord, have mercy. I know you're going to have mercy on your people. And when I read of the blessed mercy and grace of God to His people, those that He's everlastingly loved, those that He's chosen, His blessed Son, those that the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed by His blood, put away the debt owed to the broken law of God. And Almighty God would give them a new heart. Give them a new mind. Give them a new spirit. Said, I'm going to reveal to you that I'm your God and you're my people. And I'm not going to impute. I'm not going to charge your iniquity to you. We're just as chargeable in ourselves as anybody else. Mark, there's no difference. Me or you or anybody else. But that the Lord would not impute their sin to them. Oh, what grace. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, that I might be found in this number, in that great number of mercy and kindness for Christ's sake. Lord, bless these words to our hearts.